Hi, and welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, Episode 20. I'm Janice Cunning. I'm here with David and Sylvia, as often I am, but we also have a very special guest this week, Liz Regmond. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you.
So, Liz, why don't you give us a one or two sentence summary of who you are as a leader in the world of fundraising?
Yeah, and let the audience know like where you're working and you know, your role too, please, Liz.
For sure. So I am a knowledge connector and an organized adventurer in my leadership. And in my day job, I am the associate director for fundraising operations at Pathways to Education Canada. And I'm also on the board of directors for APRA International.
And for those Liz is being a little shy because she's not sharing that she's the past president of APRA International.
I'm going to say it.
And for those of us who don't know what APRA is, what is APRA?
APRA is a professional association for those who work in the prospect development field within fundraising. So we are the individuals who do research, who look at metrics, who analyze data, who give you sort of the business intelligence to be competitive, to engage and inspire individuals to want to donate to your organization.
Awesome. Yeah. Great work. You guys do great work.
Exactly. Yeah. So good to know.
So Liz, we had asked you to share some wisdom with us, and you had this burning desire to write a blog post, which we thought was great, about leadership is hard, and that's okay.
I love it. It's so hard. We gotta do it anyway.
Correct, yes. It came from my past year as president of APRA. You know, I have always sort of embraced, you know, stepping up, volunteering, taking on new roles and initiatives. This one was more of a sort of formal leadership role. You know, you're the president of an international association. You have a membership that has expectations of how this association will be governed. You have a board of directors who are all smart, passionate people, but they're also looking for, you know, somebody's got to kind of has to lead them. So I had that privilege and honor. And I had always sort of thought, you know, I could do this. This isn't hard. And I realized leadership is hard. And it's okay that it's hard. In fact, if it wasn't hard, I don't think it would have been as satisfying. I don't think it would have been as an amazing a learning experience as it was that helped me to grow, that helped the association to be that much better because of that learning experience. And so I really, this past year, you know, all of my colleagues and my friends and those on the APRA board often heard me saying, leadership is hard. You have a lot of awkward conversations, difficult conversations, where as a board member, you would be sitting at the table and really, you know, speaking on the context of what the membership feels or what you feel. And as a leader, you have to kind of take a step back and be more of a listener and hear the different perspectives in order to make a really informed decision that has a diversity of opinion and voice. And so you can't be the one sort of just sort of shouting at the back. You have to be a good listener. But you also have to have some difficult conversations as well, which can feel awkward and uncomfortable. And if you're in a group of individuals who are all very collegial, that sometimes even makes it that much more difficult. So leadership is hard.
Yeah. And one thing that I know about you that I always admire is you really embrace the idea of taking on big challenges and being willing to fail and learn from that and like seeing the fun in those experiences.
For sure. So I am a bit unique that way. I kind of jump in both feet first. I'm a bit fearless because like, what's the worst that's going to happen? And the other piece is, you know, Janice, to your point, even though leadership may be hard and you may have had difficult conversations, if you can't find the fun and the joy in it, then what's the point of doing it? And so I really embrace that idea that though this may be hard, where can I find joy, and you know, where can I find some learning opportunities that can bring me more joy? And so, I may say that leadership is hard, but I loved every minute of it. I would never dissuade anyone from taking on that challenge.
So Liz, what I'm hearing from you is that you seem to give people space so they can talk to you in a very open way. And it seems like this is your way to face difficult conversations.
That would be correct, Sylvia. I think one of the things that the coaching course that I took with the three of you for coaching leaders in fundraising world is that idea of giving space and being able to ask some powerful questions. And then being able to hear those perspectives and being very open-minded about that. And then that, I think, also helps with the difficult conversations where instead of having to, you know, sort of take that deep breath and give your opinion, you know, allow yourself to have a little bit of space to ask some questions and hear, and that may actually soften or smooth over those difficult conversations. Or you may find that this is actually not difficult. We're actually all on the same page and there's consensus, so for sure.
Yeah, and can you just, in case people don't, Liz, know what powerful questions are, give us a little sense of, you know, what you've learned about them and how they helped you.
For sure, powerful questions, definitely not why questions, which is, you know, I always liked why questions because I thought they were probing and you know thoughtful, but I did realize through the course that those are actually can be perceived as judgmental. So to reframe those, really open-ended, short, really trying to get people to get to the heart of what they, you know, their views, opinions, perceptions, their understanding. So
I'm curious, Liz. So what in from your board service this past year? What did you learn about when you had to go into a meeting, board meeting, where you knew there were going to be some difficult conversations? Like, what kind of frame of mind did you put yourself in? You know, knowing that you were going into those situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always try to approach things from the positive and from the forward looking. Yes, you have to acknowledge the present, but you can get really mired down in that and then kind of just circle. And if at the end of the day, you are trying to get consensus or you're trying to get people out of that feeling of negativity and move them forward to a positive and to see what are the possibilities, I always try and frame, you know, those conversations, those board meetings as, let's look forward. Let's keep the association moving in a positive way. We're here for the membership. How can we serve them best that it's meaningful? So again, I really, really tried to do a lot of work around positivity and forward momentum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how does that relate, Liz, to, as you introduce yourself, being an organized adventurer?
Well, I'm organized because I'm a bit of a process person. So I like, you know, Excel spreadsheets, I like pro-con lists. I like to, you know, review what are all the different options and, you know, what are, I think my, if I looked at my SDI inventory, I'm a bit of a hub. So I like to have, you know, what's the landscape out there. So that's the organized part of it. But the adventurer part of it is, I'm really willing to try just about anything because you never know what may come out of that. It may be some new experience and you may end up finding some really great delight or learning something new or making some new connections or connecting dots. So I like to be an adventurous person, but I do like to have a little, you know, box or framework or some organization around that. Otherwise, you know, it's just chaos and not my ideal.
It sounds, Liz, like you're very good in combining, you know, like the managing part and the letting go, the leadership part. How do you mix these two key concepts up? How do you make it happen?
That's a very good question, Sylvia. And I think that's a very interesting one around the letting it go. Because for some people who are very process oriented, which I consider myself that, letting go can be very, very difficult, right? It's not part of the process. That's not the order. And I kind of frame it in a couple of different ways. One is, what's the risk of letting go? If the risk is low, if this brings joy and happiness to people, if this gets things moving forward in a positive way, then let it go and not hold on to a process or a format that isn't going to get us moving forward. So that's really that's where I kind of look at things. And sometimes it's hard to let go, but I practice a lot of that. I've gotten actually this past year, I've gotten much, much better because again, as a leader, you can't do everything. It's just impossible. And so you have to let some things go. You have to delegate and you have to understand that some people won't do it the way exactly you do it. But that doesn't mean that the end result isn't equally valid and effective. So.
Yeah. So Liz, you, I like how you're sort of really showing us, like for you, the two big things that you appreciated was that you got better at having awkward conversations, maybe even came to enjoy them a little bit.
Just like this, how awkward is this conversation?
We're dancing in the conversation.
We're dancing. This is like completely unscripted.
Yeah. And then listening, you know, so rather than jumping to advice for listening. So I'm wondering to kind of, you know, maybe to have you kind of sum up, like, what has, like, how are you different as a leader now that you've gone through this journey of being the president of APRA, and that these two things in particular, how have they served you, you know, in your day job and the rest of your life?
For sure. I think in the context of awkward or difficult conversations, I don't necessarily avoid them or I don't fear them. It's just, it is what it is. We have to get through it. You know, let's you know, use some of our skills and know that we probably build it up to be worse than it is. And so, you know, focus in on asking lots of questions, lots of powerful questions, and that may diffuse any tension or awkwardness. The listening part I'm always constantly working on because I just love to contribute. So I really visualize sitting on my hands. Why? I don't know, but that somehow helps me to just really think about listening and giving a lot of space. And also when you see people who are not contributing, I tend to call them out and ask them, you know, please share your opinion. And so I invite them to do that a lot. Because again, silence doesn't necessarily mean consent. And so you have to hear those who are usually the quietest. They usually have the most brilliant ideas. So
yeah, silence isn't consent. That's just driving that home.
Yeah, very, very nice way to say it. Yeah. You know, how many people in the room don't speak because I know they're shy, and it's good to be shy. They want to feel invited to talk. And some of us, like me, my tendency is to speak a lot, so I might be taking space of others. So we got to take responsibility of that and give space to all voices because we all matter. So very nicely said, Liz.
Thank you.
So what any final words of wisdom for somebody? We're going to get you to give people something to try in a second, but if somebody's feeling like there's an opportunity, maybe a promotion at work or a volunteer opportunity, and they're scared and feeling like leadership might be too hard, what would you tell them?
I would say do it anyways, because it may be hard, but the learning experience is so rewarding. It will just enrich, you know, your life that much more. And we all should continue to strive to learn. Otherwise, we kind of stagnate. So I would say jump in both feet forward. Embrace it. Go for it.
Don't worry. The water temperature is fine.
Exactly. It'll warm up. It'll warm up.
Exactly. Commit lots of mistakes and recover soon.
Yes. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. I don't think about mistakes. I think of them as learning opportunities. So I have lots and lots of learning opportunities behind me and ahead of me.
That's how we learn.
Yeah.
So if you had to give the audience a challenge, Liz, what would you have them do?
I would invite them to actively participate in a difficult conversation. So they may be avoiding something to try and, you know, keep things copacetic, but I would say, you know, swallow the fear or push down the butterflies and move forward with a difficult conversation.
Oh, good invitation.
You're a good invitation. You're making me think, Liz.
Well, all right. So maybe Janice and Sylvia and I will take you up on that just at the end of this podcast. We'll jump into a difficult conversation.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think we all, I like that because we all can think about something, whether it's, you know, professionally, personally, in our volunteer work, you know. So that's great. And so Liz, we love having you as part of the fundraising leadership community. We've loved having you in our course, I was so excited when you took our course because I knew you were going to be a person who would jump in with both feet and share your knowledge and try things and inspire other people. So just want to express my appreciation for your friendship and being part of our community for so many years.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for offering it. I mean, I think it was so valuable. And I feel like I kind of just scratched the surface. So I'm excited for more from the three of you. Who knows, maybe I'll take the course again just to solidify my learning. Who knows?
That'll be great.
Awesome, Liz. Thank you.
All right. So everybody, think of that difficult conversation you've been avoiding and go put it into practice.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Adios.